debate something we really, really need to talk about. Now, my first Sunday as an interim, this is my seventh interim. And so I focus on this passage. So please excuse those who are sensitive to the fact that, gosh, what is the passage I read preparing for today? It is different. But you'll see how it relates to this season and our journey we are beginning together today. But before we hear Scripture, let us open our hearts to God in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may we open ourselves to hear your word and believe it and then live it. For this we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Joshua. I don't know if many of you remember who Joshua was. Joshua was a leader of the people of God. He was literally their commander when they went and conquered the new land of Canaan, the promised land. And so this is a story that tells about the fact that after all the travails that the people of God had gone through, from the time that Abraham was called to leave his home, to go where God led him, to the time they spent 450 years in slavery in Egypt, to the time they were freed from slavery and meandered their way for 40 years through the wilderness to get to the edge of the land and then had to wait for the land to be conquered with God's help. They're now on the edge of the kingdom and ready to enter in. And this is what Joseph said to them. Chapter 24, first verse. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and some of the elders of the church, the heads, the judges, the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods of your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done good for you." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. And he made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. And Joseph wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak in the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, "See this stone? It shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, and if you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away to their inheritance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Isn't it remarkable how God works in our lives? Isn't it uncanny how somehow God is the one who knows who we are, knows what we need, and at the most opportune time when we need it the most, God is there for us. God has been there in the past for us, and God will be in the future for us. God is always faithful. God has never not been faithful. Even though times we are not faithful, the God we love in Christ is eternally faithful. Began at work before we came along, has been at work in the midst of us now, and will be leading us into the future, God's future. It is that God that we serve. Is there any more appropriate thing than on the edge of the season of Advent for us to remind ourselves whom we serve? And if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Is it not right for us in this beginning of the Advent season, as we ready ourselves for the coming of the Savior of the world, that we mark it with the question of, who do we serve with our living? The gods of this land? Or the God who brought us here? For me and my household, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. It is that sense in which we discover that there are many temptations in a new land. Oh, I know some of you have lived here a long time. But for these people of God who were standing on the edge of the new land, Canaan, who had heard a promise made to Abraham hundreds of years before, and now all of a sudden, here they are. They're ready to enter into that new land. And he knows that the temptations of the gods they served in the former lands and the gods that exist in this new land are a temptation for us and can draw us away from the God who calls us in Jesus Christ. And so we need to be consciously aware of those dangers. And so the question to us is, choose this day who you will serve. Matter of fact, it's not just a question we ask today. It is a question we should ask ourselves every time we get up in the morning. Who do I serve today? This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, what would you have me do today? Should that not be our first question? Not what's for breakfast? What should I wear today? Gosh, can I look at my calendar and see what I have to do? Isn't the initial question really for us to say, Lord, what would you have me do today? I'm your servant. I said I would serve you with my life. You're my priority in my life. You are above everything else. So what do you want me to do? And in what I've already planned to do, how do you want to reveal my faith through who I am as a person with whomever I touch, whosever life I'm involved with? At work, at school, in my neighborhood. How do I take my faith and make it alive and real, as live, as real as green reminds us of life? What is God calling us to do each day? You know, I find that in those days, because I don't always do that, all right? For all those who do that every day and have done it all your life, raise your hand, and then you can come up and finish the sermon. But for me, I fail. I fall short. I don't always do what I intend to do. The things I intend to do, I don't do, and those things I don't intend to do, I do, Paul said. Yeah, that's where I live. How about you? But in those good days, in those good days when I ask that question and I open myself up to every time I walk to the bathroom, to the breakfast table, to the place of work, the place of school, if I'm asking and keeping that question in front of me, then it changes how I see and approach the day. It really does. Where is God? God in this situation? What does God want me to be about in this context? How can I be an emissary, a disciple of Christ, a witness to others that my faith is alive and I believe in a God who loves not only me, but loves you too? And sometimes, you know how it is. When you look at other people, you go, God love them. Because I'm having a hard time. God love them. And God does love them. God loves every one of us. God does not give any preferential treatment to any of us. None of us are more important or less important than anyone else. Do you believe that? Do you believe that for yourself? That you are that precious to God? That you are that important to the Lord? Because you are. That's what Scripture says. That's what our tradition says. You are as important, not any more or any less than anyone else. And if we believe that is true, then that changes our day too, doesn't it? Changes how we deal with others. Because if I see them as my equal, humbly before God, then that changes how I deal with them. Because I'm not better, and I'm not worse. We are on the edge of a new season. And I'm not just talking about it. You're in a new season because something horrible has happened in life. And yet now you're trying to figure out, Lord, now what? Where do we go from here? Gosh, we join pastors, here he goes, and then we go through a long process, and then we get somebody else, and then you're a short time, and then they're gone. My gosh, my God. You know, what do we do? But the God who's loved us before, the God who loves us now is the God who will love us in the future. And God is faithful. And God will be with us as we walk into the journey of faith, which continues today. The new season is an interim period. It's just the time between times. We talk in our denomination, the interim period is the time between one installed pastor till the next one. Right? Well, I would argue that that's certainly an interim period. There's another interim period. There's a time when you showed up and the time when you're going to leave the service. That's an interim period. All our lives are broken up in the interim periods. Nobody was here from the beginning. Nobody's going to be here till the end. But while we're here, what is it that God wants us to do, individually and collectively? What is God calling Pisgah Presbyterian to do? You've been around for 230 years. Your banners say all over the place, we worship God, we study scriptures, and we practice the teachings of Jesus. Wow, there's a good condition. And if you put that banner in your place at work, on your school notebook, on your mirror, on your car somewhere, to remind you that that's who you are when you commit yourself to Jesus Christ. To be about those things. And when we are, the joy that fills us is incredible. The times we're successful at doing those things, wow. And when we don't, guess what happens? We've got forgiveness. Not just on Sunday. We have forgiveness all through the week. So we can go to the Lord and say, I'm sorry. I fell short. I didn't do what I wanted to do. I didn't do what I should have. Thank you, love. Thank you for giving a fresh start. Boom. Here we go. Clean slate. Ready to go. White as snow. White as I can. Today marks a beginning of a new season in all senses. Not just the season of Advent and Christmas, but also the season of this church's life. For now it is a new place. And where is God going to take us? Now what I know about God is that God has already been involved, is already working in all of us. And so some of us may have some inkling, others will discover later. But we will continue to discover and continue to attempt to be faithful in all we do. But I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, to whom do we serve? Do we serve our house? I've got to work because I got to have time to pay for the house, the car, the clothes, the activities. I've got to have a job. I've got to keep my job because I need to pay for all those things. And pretty soon we end up serving things instead of the Lord. We get caught up in all that stuff. Then we get caught up in public notoriety, who I am, what I have done. You know, we get into all those kinds of issues that somehow lead us away from serving humbly God, realizing I fall short, but I'm trying. You know, there are all kinds of temptations. It's our retirement portfolio, right? It's our stock options. It's our college plans. It's who I'm going to marry. Am I going to have children, natural otherwise? You know, where am I going to live? I mean, those are all questions we have in life. Those are all legitimate concerns. The problem is we can get lost in all those concerns and forget that it's the Lord who is Lord of our lives, not us. And what is it, Lord, you want me to do? If I say I serve you, then what does that look like? Now, what Joshua did so long ago is he got people together, he posed the question, and he claimed for himself what he was going to do. And then he warned him against making slight commitments without deep felt commitment. And then he said, okay, you're witnesses against yourself. Know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a stone, I'm going to set it right there. It's a witness against us of whether we are truly committed to serve the Lord with our lives or not. It is my interim symbol. This rock will remain here the whole time I'm with you, to bear witness against us in our renewing our commitment to Jesus Christ and one another. And when I leave on my last Sunday, I will claim it. I never throw it. But it will stand as a symbol for us, as a witness. And in a few minutes, when we sing a hymn and do a statement of faith, then we have a litany of welcome. And that's going to be a little bit of a commitment to one another in our relationship that now is going to begin. But again, this stands a witness not only of the covenant we make with one another today in the relationship, but also a reminder of our covenant we made when we said, we will serve the Lord. If you're unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve. For me and my household, we will serve the Lord. and in faith. Let us share it together. In life and death,